What's going on, Eagles fans? Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louie DiBiase here joining you alongside my co-host, Gino Camilleri. Gino, what's going on, man? Go Birds.
Yeah, fly Eagles fly. Just getting through the week, heading down to Minnesota, getting closer, you know?
Absolutely.
Countdown to Sunday.
Big game against a big test, Gino, one that we're familiar with, as we saw them in the NFC Championship game, beat them 38-7. You know what I noticed, Gino, though? That game, the Vikings fans, you know, in air quotes, they took over that game, right, with the whole the 40 fans that were on the Rocky Steps, you know, doing the skull chant, and the Eagles fans totally took advantage of that. I'm not seeing that confidence and that troll mentality on Eagles Twitter this week. I'm seeing a lot of concern still on on Tuesday. I don't think it's as crazy as I thought after the Titans loss, but I'm still seeing people really sulking on that loss, and I'm not seeing a lot of moving on and let's beat these Vikings for a second straight game at the Link. I haven't seen it yet. Hopefully we get it down the road, but this is what Eagles Twitter is known for.
Yeah, I think this is a little bit of shock to the system for everybody, and this is a bad loss, and the All-22 came out yesterday, and it made things a lot worse. Jim Schwartz's press conference didn't make things much better, but yeah, I think this is a Minnesota team that's vulnerable, and I think this is the time that you do pounce. You do pounce on that hurt opponent, you know? These are the games you got to come back, and you got to punch down sometimes, and you got to take advantage of it and just kick them into the dirt and just pile on the points like we did in the NFC Championship game.
So throughout the week, we're going to get into the coverage of the Eagles-Vikings game this Sunday at 4:25. We're actually going to have Matt Collar on of 1500 ESPN in Minnesota. So we're going to have that on Thursday for you tomorrow, crossover Wednesday. We're going to take a first look at the Minnesota Vikings in that matchup because there's some interesting things to watch. So we'll get through that. I mean, the secondary has been the talk of the week for Eagles fans and for Eagles media, including us alike. We talked about it yesterday. So if you missed that show, you can go back on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you find them. We're up and available on there as we did our stock up, stock down, took a final look at the Titans game. But it's going to be kind of a similar thing this week as Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs and that high-powered Vikings offense put up 31 against the Rams as they come to town. So we're going to get into that throughout the week. But coming up on today's show, me and Gina, we're going to recap Jim Schwartz's press conference. And it's a timely one, and it's a good one to talk about because me and Gina, our big criticisms so far of this year, Jim Schwartz has been one of the main culprits of that criticism. So he talked to the media today. We'll get into what he said and what we thought about what he said. Also, getting into some Le'Veon Bell talk. Gino posted a really cool story last week, I think, or mm-hmm. Last week about how a butterfly effect could bring Le'Veon to the Eagles, and then it's really geared up. Jason Lockenforce said that Le'Veon Bell and the Eagles could be an interesting secret match made in heaven for us, for Eagles fans, and for, you know, NFL fans that like offense. And then Le'Veon Bell comes out and says the Eagles would have interest in him in free agency when he's talking about teams that are interested. So it's kind of just piling up the rumors and the connections to it that seemed like a far-fetched pipe dream so far. Gino, we've kind of spoken into existence, so me and Gino, we're going to get into that as well today, talk about if there was a trade, what would that entail? So we got an exciting one for you right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. So Eagles fans, before we get into that, I'm excited to talk to you about our newest partner, Lokai. You need a little extra swag for game day? Lokai has got your back with their brand new game day collection. Gino, you just got your bracelets. How do you like yours, man? They're pretty cool. The midnight green, the white and the black get you decked out for Sunday.
Yeah, they're pretty sweet. They hooked me up with two of them. They're really nice, really good quality. Just tossed it on. It matches the jerseys exactly. It's got a nice little interwoven black, midnight green, and white. They're really nice. I highly suggest them to all Eagles fans.
If you haven't heard that name before, Lokai, well, you have now. This company is awesome. Me personally, I've been rocking their bracelets for a couple years now. It's a bracelet with an amazing message, and it also supports incredible causes. They have a deal right now for Breast Cancer Awareness Month bracelet, so go to Lokai.com and check that out. The Lokai bracelet comes in your team's colors and holds water. And this is the cool part about them. They hold water from Mount Everest in one of the capsules, the highest point on Earth, and then mud from the Dead Sea in the other capsule, which is the lowest point on Earth. And it's a daily reminder to keep balance in your life between between the highs and the lows, and we've gotten accustomed to that with the highs and lows so far of this Eagles season, so it's a perfect attire for this 2018 Eagles season. But, you know, no joke, I've been wearing the same one on my wrist for 3 years now, and it's going to be cool to get my Eagles ones. It's and it has, again, an awesome message, which personally helps me keep focused both during the good and challenging times in life. Since Lokai is friends of the show, they're offering you an exclusive discount of 25% off. So Locked On Eagles listeners, you get 25% off all game day collection bracelets. Guys, trust me, I've been a fan of theirs for years. This is the best deal, and it's not just for Eagles bracelets. If your girl is a Redskins fan, which I hope she isn't, if your best friend is a Panthers fan and you got to get him a Carolina Panthers gift, you got those as well. Use the promo code EAGLES25 when checking out, and boom, you can thank me later. Go to Lokai, that's LOKAI.com, and use the promo code EAGLES25 to take advantage of this amazing deal. Gino's got his, I'm getting mine. Really excited to be partners with Lokai, and we thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. Gino, let's get into, to start off the show, Jim Schwartz and what he talked about in his press conference today. And it's aggravating because Jim Schwartz is a big figure when it comes to this team. He has a lot of power. He's essentially really running the defense. In the NFL now, you know, I mean, with Doug Peterson, yes, he is the head coach, and he does have say on the defensive side if he wants say. And, you know, he oversees all team activities because he's the head coach. But it really, what it is, the setup is, Doug Peterson handles really the offense when it comes to personnel and, you know, game plan and that kind of stuff. And then he handles game management stuff during the actual game. But Jim Schwartz is kind of like the defensive head coach. You know, he basically runs the defense. Doug even said in some of the documentaries I watched last year when he talked about putting together his coaching staff, he wanted a former head coach that had experience, and he even said when talking about Jim Schwartz, you know, brought him in to handle and take over that defense. So, but we don't get him every single week in press conferences. So a lot of time, me and you are frustrated with the lack of adjustments he has, why he's sticking with Jalen Mills on the outside, you know, why they decided not to blitz here or there, whatever it is. But we got to hear from him today, and to no shock of me or you, man, he stuck by Jalen Mills again.
I was expecting exactly what he said. I didn't think Jim Schwartz was going to change his mind on anything, and he said exactly that.
He comes from the Bill Belichick tree. Like, he's never going to change that.
No, he keeps everything close to the chest, and whoever his guys are, he'll fight to the death for him. And that's exactly what he believes in Jalen Mills. And, I mean, you have to give it to him. He supports his guys. Jalen's not a guy that gets down on confidence, and I think that stems a lot from Jim having trust in him. But after watching the tape today, I think a lot of the criticism on Jalen was warranted, but I think Jim Schwartz is not being criticized enough for his play calling. Like, he's running defenses that are just getting exposed, and he's not changing it at all. He ran a lot of cover two that just, they found gaps in the cover two and just took advantage of it all day, and good teams are going to do that. And Doug said it yesterday that a lot of it wasn't based on scheme, that the breakdowns occurred more the personnel, but Jim said the exact opposite. You know, he said he believed in what they had out there. He said he liked what he saw in Avante Maddox at safety, and that they wouldn't move Rasul Douglas back there. Literally everything the opposite of what we wanted to hear.
So our free school campaign continues then.
Yeah, he's going to continue to sit on the bench, which is a travesty because he's a baller and he makes plays, and a defense that's been inept for playmakers sure could use a boost from somebody like that, you know, but...
And if you don't want him to get beat like Jalen Mills does, I mean, because Douglas is also prone to giving up big plays at times, but he's going to get you those playmaking, those big plays sometimes. If you don't, I just want him on the field. It's not even really about him as an outside corner. I would like him as safety more so than Maddox because he offers those plays, and he would be less prone to giving up big plays if he's back deep. So I'm not even the Free Sewell campaign that our guy Justin Grasso of Inside the Eagles started. You know, that it's not just about him on the outside. He's not getting virtually any snaps on defense at all.
He needs to be out there. For Scouting Academy, I had to rewatch the Panthers game last season when he was out there for Ronald Darby, and he just made plays, and he always does. Every tape you watch of him, he's making plays. But yes, he does give up the big play, but the one thing coming out of West Virginia was that he was a ball hawk. He led his senior year. He had 8 interceptions, which is phenomenal. And he's continuing to get interceptions in his limited time. And you I think it's only a matter of time before it happens, because I think Jalen's going to get exposed again. I think Ronald's going to have another bad game if they don't change anything, you know, if they don't adjust that defense.
Darby's been let off the hook a little bit. I think Darby's kind of gotten, because of how bad Mills has been, and people love to hate on Jalen Mills, and they jump on the opportunity. Darby's just kind of hiding in the background, like, having a really bad season so far, and no one's really saying anything, I feel like, except for us. I'm just kind of over here, like, I'm not defending Mills, but kind of saying, okay, but we have this guy over here as well that's also struggling, people, and this is an issue over here, too.
I think Eagles Twitter just really is like, Jalen Mills is the scapegoat. I mean, I've been...
When was the last guy that's been like that? Can we think of any other Eagle in the... Is there another Eagle in the
Bradley
past?
Fletcher.
Yeah,
Bradley
that's
Fletcher,
right. Yeah,
sure.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's always the corners that get beat, you know? But, yeah, you can't let Darby off the hook either. And, I mean, Sidney Jones had a good game, but Jim Schwartz said he played like a 2-2 player was his thing.
He
kept saying about
love.
Everybody.
He kind of gave Sidney Jones a little tough love. I mean, Jones did give up some plays. He was... He got beat on the one touchdown. It was the second one for the Titans. He got beat on that. He gave up some plays, but he also made some really good plays. But it was interesting that Schwartz kind of gave him a little tough love today.
It was. I mean, maybe it was to get him motivated to play better, to give him a chance outside, that if he continues to play well, he will give him that opportunity, but the thing is, he was drafted to be that number one guy, you know, and at what time do you allow him to be that guy?
Right.
The other guys on the field aren't doing it. He has the ability. We've seen it in the limited amount of time that he's a playmaker. He's sound in his defense. He's got good feet. He's got fluid hips. Like he's exactly what you want in a cornerback, and there was a reason he was ranked right there with Marshon Lattimore as the number one cornerback in the draft last year. And
yeah.
There's not much I took away outside of the tough love to Sidney Jones. He's going to keep playing Jalen Mills. His scheme is going to work according to him. And apparently, Corey Graham shouldn't be playing 71 snaps a game. That's news to me.
Shocker.
You know,
breaking news.
Breaking news that a 33-year-old safety shouldn't be playing that much. But that was good to hear that he doesn't want to keep Corey in that
Brady
role.
Where do you more Maddox, though? I mean, he's a 5'8 corner. I know he compared him to McLeod today because they did ask him why it was Maddox over a guy like Rasul, who he does say cross-trains a little bit in practice, but more so they, again, identified Douglas as an outside corner. Fine, even if you do, I want the guy in the field. But regardless, for Maddox, though, how do you think that that's going to work out? I mean, I don't know. I would rather also, I think Douglas is a really good tackler, and I know in space it might be tougher because he's not as athletic as Maddox, but, you know, you have a rookie back there. I mean, you have a 33-year-old safety and a rookie corner playing safety. I know he has a history of playing in the nickel, which Jim Schwartz today said it kind of transitions, it's an easy transition from slot to safety, more so than on the outside, but I mean, that's a lot of inexperience in back deep now and a lot of unathleticism in Corey Graham. I don't know, it kind of makes me nervous, the setup back there, especially when we need those guys to help out if Mills is going to continue to play on the outside, which he's going to.
I think it was a rough thing to do to put him out there in overtime, single high, and have him cover Corey Davis on the last play of the game. I just think that wasn't fair to him. Like, he's not ready for that role. But you know who would have been, I think, is Rasul Douglas, because he's been in that scenario before, you know? And that was kind of a head-scratcher to me. But I do think if you look at it from the perspective of Jim Schwartz saying that he identifies better as a safety, I agree. He is a very good tackler for only being how big he is at 5'8". He hits like a truck. He gets downhill fast. It's not an easy shift to safety. It's a tough position to learn, you know, and especially in Jim Schwartz's defense, it can be tough at times, but
we're gonna leave him alone?
Yeah, you can't leave him single high. Like, I'm having flashbacks to Chris Marigo single high, you know?
Oh,
like,
God, yeah.
Yeah, you don't want that to happen anymore.
I mean, that's the thing is, like, Jenkins is still going to move around, and he said we're going to get more of Maddox than Corey Graham, And with McLeod, it's like you didn't have to worry about it back there. Like he had it, whatever. Like you could trust him back there as a single high safety. Maddox, again, like it's not a knock on him. It's more so me praising Rasul Douglas, and it's also just me concerned about the inexperience. That if you were going to have a guy transition from corner to safety, I know that the physical abilities of Maddox probably line up more with what they want. But I was surprised that it was Maddox that they decided to use for this. But I thought that was interesting. It seems like the only change that we're going to see is more Maddox at safety and less Graham when it comes to the secondary. At what point, or if any point at all, would Doug Peterson consider stepping in and would he pull Jalen Mills and against Jim Schwartz, just saying, like, that's it. We got to get him out of there. Would they butt heads with that? I'm wondering what the dynamic would be if Doug Peterson eventually made that kind of decision or was thinking about it, because we even mentioned yesterday in Peterson's press conference yesterday, he mentioned how teams were picking on Jalen Mills on purpose for obvious reasons.
I don't think that's out of the equation. I mean, you're going to have to at some point. I was listening to the Sims and Lefko podcast today, and Chris Sims said the exact same thing about that, the last play call of the game. Why are you blitzing eight guys when you have a rookie back there to cover Corey Davis? Why don't you just let them catch the ball in front of the end zone and tackle them? They didn't have any timeouts. That you could have won the game like that. Like, why didn't Doug step in and do something? At some point, he's going to have to do that.
That's
for
a good
Jim
point.
Because Jim is a very... not egocentric isn't the word, but he's a very proud guy, and he sticks to his morals, and he does exactly what he's done his entire career.
That's why I think it might not go over well if Peterson were to be like, Jim, like, that's it, like, Mills, we got to get him out.
I don't either, but
that
it's
almost,
a business.
It might be a business. What he has to
Doug
do.
Doug needs to keep his job,
right?
You know?
Exactly, he is the head coach. So I would like to see the aggressive Doug take over in that kind of situation, because I don't know if they're ever going to convince Jim Schwartz to pull out Jalen Mills. I mean,
no.
I know it's only 4 weeks in, but Mills, by the way, if some of these penalties that were declined stood, I saw this on Twitter today, Jalen Mills would lead the NFL in penalties.
Acceptable. That's just an undisciplined player, you know? Like, it's one thing to give up big plays, but it's also one thing to give up big penalties.
And it's
like,
not just
big penalties can be avoided.
Right, and it's not just a thing about discipline. It's also a thing about he's a liability physical attributes-wise, and he knows he's getting beat, and he's got to grab, and he's got to do different things like that, and ends up getting called for it because he's got to stay up with these receivers. So it's also just a problem of he doesn't have the recovery speed Darby has, so he's got to get grabby at times. He's a smaller corner. So, you know, this is my thing with it, and this is how we'll wrap up this segment, is my thing with Mills, I'm not even against him playing on the outside some of the time. His playoffs last year on the outside was strong. He has been a better corner as of recent than Darby has. Ronald Darby, really, since that Dallas Cowboys game, I know he had a pretty good NFC Championship game against Minnesota, but Darby was more inconsistent last year, I thought, when he came back from his injury, and I think Mills has been better since the return of Darby last year than Ronald Darby has. So it's not all just get Jalen Mills off the field, I said this yesterday, but it's not even just get him off the outside. But why can't it be a matchup-based thing where week by week, okay, this team is faster, this team has some burners, now we're going to move Mills whenever, you know, one of the other guys shifts around the line, whenever DeSean Jackson, that kind of player, comes to town, we're going to have a Darby or a Sidney Jones shadow him. I don't understand why it can't be a matchup-based thing where it's, nope, Jalen Mills on the right side, doesn't matter, we believe in him, and that's what it's going to be. That's what's driving me crazy, and we talked about it yesterday, but Jim Schwartz, again, confirming what we were skeptical of yesterday, is exactly what happened.
Yeah, I agree with the whole matchup thing. I think Jalen does have a niche role. He's a very good tackler. He plays well down by the box. But when guys that can run faster than a 4.6 are on the outside and hit him with any sort of double move, he's going to get beat. It's just what it is at this point. We've seen it enough to just call it like it is. You know, if it quacks like a duck, look like a duck, it's a duck. You know, like, that's what it is. He is what he is. I don't think he's going to improve on what he is. I think he's going to be exactly what he is until he's on another team or still with the Eagles. But there is a use for the guy. He has a talented skill set. He's a Super Bowl winning cornerback. But you can't put him in a position that he's not comfortable in. And
I think that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Like, let's not let Darby off the hook either, but let's put these guys in positions to where they can make plays and not make them feel uncomfortable where they have to commit penalties and are getting beat on moves all up and down the field, you know?
The other thing, real quick, too, before we get into our Le'Veon Bell talk, when they're playing so off and you're getting beat on double moves, that's the thing, is like when your route recognition is struggling, when you're timid and you're not crashing down and actually making plays on the ball, it's very dangerous, because then it starts to open it up where, you know, when you're closer to the line, I actually would trust rather have these corners be kind of shadowing a receiver like that, where mm-hmm. whereas deep, I actually think it's a mistake to have Mills try to read these guys and then bite down, because again we see the double moves, and it didn't seem like he really addressed that coverage kind of question yet today. So, you know, I will probably see more of that, but let's move on. Gino, coming up next, we're going to get into our Le'Veon Bell talk, because it's been the quiet thing behind all the Eagles' struggles so far this year are these off-season topics of Le'Veon Bell, maybe, and it's a long shot, but we got to address it, perhaps playing with the Eagles. That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast.
Yeah, before we get into that, I'd like to talk to you about where you could place a bet to see where Le'Veon Bell can play next year. Maybe he's on the Eagles, maybe he's on the Steelers, but who knows? But if you want to place a bet on that, you know where to go. MyBookie. You know, ever since I started doing this podcast with Lou, people have been asking me for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. I really don't know. I can't pick the Eagles games to save my life at this point. It's not funny. But yeah, the truth is I really don't know who's going to win. But if you think you do, you got to go check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they are your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. I've had it for a couple years. I have a couple futures in right now. I have the Eagles to win the Super Bowl at +10-1. I'd like to see that hit this year.
I agree.
That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting and the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet on the over-under of how many fantasy points a player will score each game. I'd like to see if they could do the amount of penalties Jalen Mills can commit in a single game.
I'd like to take a shot at that.
So join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to activate the offer today. Visit MyBookie online, that's MyBookie, and don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You win, you play, you get paid. MyBookie will match our listeners' deposits up to 100% on your first $1,000, so get over to MyBookie today and put some cash down.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri coming to you on this Tuesday edition, October 2nd. Moving on from the Titans game, we are getting ready for the Minnesota Vikings game this Sunday. We will start our coverage of that one tomorrow. And we're going to have Matt Collar on 1500 ESPN Minnesota on Thursday. So me and Gino excited to have him on. Talk some Vikings. Hopefully the Birds can get a bounce back win and get to 3-2. But we got to talk about some future things here with the Birds. And it's not just it's a this season thing too, because there's a possibility that they could get this guy this year and help the Super Bowl run for 2018. And Gino, it's Le'Veon Bell, and you wrote a story about it last week about how the Eagles could potentially bring him into Philadelphia. And we got to get into it, because this is a topic, it's gained some steam. You know, it's still a long shot, I think, but with Howie Roseman liking to take chances, and with what Le'Veon Bell said recently, and with some of the reports by Jason LaCanfora, you know, you can't take everything these insiders say. I mean, it's a lot of speculation, but they do have guys inside. So, you know, even when Peter King was speculating that he thought Carson Wentz would probably play around week 3, he made it seem like it was just a, you know, an opinion. But he's talking to people inside, and you know what happened. Carson Wentz started week 3. Le'Veon said he'll be back week 7 for the Steelers. He announced that yesterday, despite saying in the morning that he'll continue to be the bad guy and hold out after the Earl Thomas fiasco in Seattle. Is, you know, he's out for the season now. So that was kind of confusing, but regardless, Le'Veon says he's coming back. I don't know, Gino, was he saying that to push a team to trade for him? And even if he wasn't, regardless of his intentions, teams are probably now going to try harder if they know that he's coming back week 7 and the Steelers are actively shopping him. I want to see the Eagles take a shot at Le'Veon Bell. I know it's an impulsive thing, but to have an elite player, just not just a running back. It's like, well, I see people say all the time, well, I would never give up that much for a running back. When you have guys like Corey Clement and Josh Adams and they all combine running for 142 yards, sure, I understand that. But having an elite player like Le'Veon, who's great in pass protection, he's basically your second best, he's your best or second best wide receiver, essentially, on the offense. And then what he can do as a running back, with this offensive line already in front, it would take the offense to another level. And I'm in, Gino. I'm all in. If they have to give up a second round pick and a decent player, I'm going for it. I mean, I'm impulsive, but I think it would do wonders for the team this year. And you want to keep up with a Rams offense that is a juggernaut right now. You add Le'Veon Bell, I think you have more talent on your offense. I mean, you probably are already close, but with Le'Veon Bell, that puts you over the top again.
I think there's a couple good talking points you brought up there. First thing I want to preface is that the NFL is slowly becoming the Big 12, in that it's just
that's right.
Just throw is
it's an arms race.
It literally is an arms race. You hit it right on the head there. I mean, look at what Kansas City's doing with Pat Mahomes. They're just airing it out. Look at what the Rams are doing. They're just airing it out. Their defenses don't have to be the best. Look, Kansas City's defense is the worst defense in the league, but you know what? They're going to score more points than you.
And guess what? With those two teams you mentioned, they didn't stop adding weapons. It's not, well, we already have Jay Ajayi, and we already have Ertz and Alshon and Aguilar. No, they kept adding. They added Sammy Watkins despite having Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and Kareem Hunt. And the Rams brought in Brandon Cooks, you know, and they gave Todd Gurley that big money. So that's the thing, is they kept adding weapons around their young quarterback, and we got to do the same.
Yeah, for sure. And Carson's still on his rookie deal. I know you got a clear cap space now. I wrote about it in my article. If you guys want to check that out, it prefaces with it saying that we'd have to trade Nick Foles, which probably isn't going to happen at this point. But there is some other pieces we can move in, especially if Pittsburgh wants a player in that deal. You can get cap off your books. But yeah, I mean, you're at the point right now where your defense is struggling, to say the least. You can't cover anybody on the back end. Your offense is just starting to click. So if your defense isn't going to get better, why not just add to your offense? Carson is on his game right now. Just give him more weapons. Look at Jared Goff. He has Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, Todd
Cooper
Gurley,
Cup.
Cooper Kupp. And they just have a whole gamut of guys they can throw to.
And
that's
Sean
exactly
McVay's a weapon
to
in his own right, too.
Yeah, that's definitely a plus one in the offensive category, but still, you need a guy. Your running backs currently aren't the best pass protectors. Le'Veon Bell is a hell of a pass protector. He could play in the slot. He could take handoffs. He can basically do anything on the offense. He's a weapon. That's what you need right now. You need weapons. And you haven't scored over 23 points in a game. You got to start scoring 30-some-odd points like they were last year, you know, especially with the defense as it is right now. Like, if we just take the defense right now that they keep letting up 24 points a game, you have to score more than that. And what we've seen from the offense, they're not converting in the red zone. You need some help. So Howie Roseman, we've seen what he did in the past, give up a fourth-round pick for Jay Ajayi, who, could you imagine coupling that backfield, having Jay Ajayi, Le'Veon Bell, Corey
yeah.
Clement, and Darren Sproles. That's all the weapons you need. And like you said, you can't be complacent and just sit on what you have. Yeah, we have Alshon. Yeah, we have Zach Ertz, but who cares? Like, win
now. Right.
And it's not like you're giving up. Let me just say this. You can't pay all your free agents after this year.
Yeah, that's the thing. Everyone's like, well, then you can't pay Darby and Ajayi and
correct.
Hicks and Graham. It's like, okay, you're probably going to lose two or three of those four anyway because of how cap-stricken you are. Or if you try to pay those guys, players like Rodney McLeod or Jason Peters, those are going to have to be some cap casualties. So to me, I would rather pay Le'Veon Bell. And to me, Jordan Hicks, I don't think it's going to be too much money because he's a middle linebacker, and linebackers don't make as much money anymore in the NFL. I mean, look what they got. With Nigel Bradham, I thought it was impossible to keep him last year, and they did just that. So to me, it's like, whatever. Like, me and you were talking after the show. If I got to throw in Brandon Graham, or if I got to throw in a Ronald Darby, they do have 2 seconds. I know it'd be a lot to swallow, and I'm not saying it's not a lot. If you had to give up a second-round pick and a good starter, like a, you know, maybe not Brandon Graham. I don't think the Eagles would be willing to do that. But let's say they threw in Ronald Darby, right? To me, I'm still okay with that because instantly you are, to me, the favorite in the NFC again. And even if it's for a year, honestly, I'd probably do the deal just for a rental Le'Veon Bell to take that shot at the Super Bowl again this year because you have that window right now. And when you put it in a perspective of, okay, you give up a second-round pick, but you also have another one. So that extra second-round pick that you collected by moving down from pick 32 last year, you take Le'Veon Bell, essentially, for a year, and you hope that he comes in and he loves it. You do a Paul George-type thing in Oklahoma City, to make an NBA reference, if you may, and he loves it here, and he wins, and maybe we get to the Super Bowl, maybe, or the NFC Championship game, and come really close, or we win it all, and then he wants to re-sign here next year. And I'm okay with, and again, you still have all your, you have a first next year, you have a second, you still have all your picks, and you get rid of a guy that you probably weren't going to re-sign next year anyway. I'm all for that, and I'm all for paying him next year, because again, the Eagles have kind of gotten away with not spending any money or any resources into the running back position outside of trading for Ajayi. But let's not kind of misconstrue the Eagles. The Eagles are not, I don't know what you think about this, but the Eagles are not a team that's just always going to take undrafted running backs or never draft them high. Because I think it's misinterpreted that this Eagles team does not invest or will not invest in running backs with because they've gotten guys like Corey Clement and a Josh Adams and a Jay Ajayi by only giving up a fourth. They also, though, Gino, tried to move up in the second round pick for Dalvin Cook. Mm-hmm. They were at pick 12 in 2017 when they took Derek Barnett, or pick when Christian McCaffrey got picked by the Panthers. If he fell after that,
they were taking him.
Right? I mean, that's what I'm saying. So with those two, they tried to go after those guys. They did give a draft pick for Jay Ajayi, so they did invest resources in it at one point. So to me, I think this is something they would consider.
I agree, and I just have that vision of Howie Roseman with that grin, just sitting behind the phone.
Right, when he knows what he's done.
Exactly.
That,
yeah,
I just traded up to pick 2 from 13 to 8 to 2.
Uh-huh.
Like, that you could just feel the confidence oozing from him during that press conference. And you're right, I could see the smirk now on his face. Like, we just got Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, exactly. The thing with these things is, like, when there's smoke, there's fire. Like, with the whole Alshon Jeffrey thing, like, when he said they were going to win the Super Bowl, like, I feel like he had an idea that Philly was interested in him, you know?
Right.
And there were reports around that trade deadline that
You don't think he actually meant Chicago with Matt Barkley at quarterback?
Right, no, yeah, exactly. That was kind of an odd thing to say, but I think he did know that there was some interest outside the organization. And if you guys don't think that stuff like this occurs, that guys are talking to other players and they're doing some backdoor type stuff, like, that stuff definitely happens in every single league. So I'm sure guys on the Eagles are trying to sway Le'Veon Bell to, like, push for a trade or something, but I put that tweet in my article from April that Jeff Mosher said that he wouldn't be surprised if Le'Veon Bell was on the Eagles by the trade deadline this year, and that was back in April.
And then all this stuff
is coming out of recent as well. Like, when there's smoke, there's fire. So I don't see this being too far away from, like, actually happening with the Eagles or any other team, but I mean, with somebody who likes to trade as much as Howie and a guy that knows Carson needs weapons, especially on a rookie deal, I could see it happening.
At the very least, they're going to make a phone call if they haven't already. It's a move that the Eagles would love to make, and they've been shown they've shown in the past that they're not afraid to go after guys on maybe with a year left on their contract or two. I mean, they traded for Ronald Darby, they traded for Jay Ajayi, knowing full well that, hey, we'd eventually have to pay these guys, you know, in a year or two. So I think it's a move that they would like to take and get a player that can help you right now, and a player Doug Peterson would love to have, a receiver slash runner slash great pass protector in Le'Veon Bell. You add that dynamic in your offense, because right now at running back, you kind of have a bunch of guys doing different things. JJ is kind of your overall running back, the thumper, with Sproles when he's healthy as that speedy guy, and Clement is kind of your do-it-all. With Le'Veon Bell, you don't need to have that rotation. You can just rely on Le'Veon Bell. And look, they called about Josh Gordon. I think Howie Roseman's always, when he sees a name like this, he's always doing his due diligence. And I would love for them to give the Steelers a call and see what they would be willing to give up. Let's take one more break. Me and Gino will wrap up the show, continuing our Le'Veon Bell talk on this Tuesday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network. Guys, let's talk about Swap.com. Isn't it crazy how much we pay for brand new, brand name clothes? Why do we buy new kids' clothes if they just outgrow them in a few months? Wouldn't it be great if there was a place to discover awesome discounts on gently used clothes? There is, and it's Swap.com, the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. Stop driving store after store and sifting through racks. Easily sift through millions of clothes in seconds on Swap.com with easy-to-use filters to find just what you need. Over 14 million tons of textiles are wasted each year. Shopping secondhand at Swap.com helps prevent textile waste from polluting the environment, which is something you can feel good about when you shop with Swap.com. Swap.com, world's largest online consignment and thrift store. With Swap.com, you can save up to 90% off retail prices on your favorite brands like Carter's, Nike, J.Crew, and Gap. Quality, hand-inspected items are added daily. If something doesn't fit, enjoy hassle-free returns within 30 days. And we got a special offer for our Locked On Eagles listeners. Get 35% off select items for your first order with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's Locked On. Plus, find new deals every day on Swap.com's homepage. And Gino, speaking of swapping, let's swap Le'Veon Bell from the Steelers to the Eagles.
I'm down. I'm all game.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase, Gino Camilleri. We wrap up the show, continue our Le'Veon Bell talk. Gino, I put up a poll, and I did this September 30th, so only a couple days ago I put up a poll. If you're the Eagles, would you trade a second-round pick in Darby for Le'Veon Bell? 52% said yes, 48% said no. Yesterday, after Le'Veon Bell mentioned the Eagles as a team that not only would consider trading for him, but this is what I thought was interesting, where you said there's smoke, there's fire. He's got to be talking to his agent about this deal. With him holding out, he's got to be talking about their free agent plans next year, because he's going to cash in. He mentioned the Eagles as one of the teams. You don't just, if you're randomly speculating as a player, I mean, he's got to know what teams would have interest, right? Because they've probably inquired about him to some level. Maybe they've inquired about a trade, and he knows that, so that's why, and I'm looking maybe really deep into it, but maybe the Eagles have inquired about a trade, and Le'Veon knows that somehow, and is saying maybe that's why they'd be interested in free agency. But again, with everything he said yesterday, with the fact that he's going to come back after Week 7, just because the guy misses football and he wants to be on the field, I put up the poll again. It went up by 8%. 60% now have said yes, they would do a deal of a second-round pick and a good player for Le'Veon. 40% say no. So it's increased. And look, again, Gino, I'm all for it. What would be a deal that, look, if there was a trade with the Eagles and Pittsburgh, mock me up something here that would get the job done on both sides, that both teams would feel good about and that you would feel good about?
Yeah, before I touch on that, I just want to read what just came across my Twitter line. This was from Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, and he said that after what Le'Veon said, that there's three options that Pittsburgh has. One, play him as if nothing ever happened, which I see very, 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 very far from happening, because the guy knows his value. He wants to be paid. Like, these guys deserve to be paid. He's a running back too. This is maybe 7% of his entire life he's playing professional football. Like, let the guy make his money, you know? I don't think it's going to be all unicorns and candy canes if he does come back. So the second option would be to trade him before October 30th, which makes a lot of sense that he would report on the bye week where he would never even have to play a game before the trade deadline.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the final one would be to rescind Bell's franchise tender, which wouldn't lead to any draft pick compensation, and it would give a roster exemption, which a team could negotiate a salary with him, and then they could drum something up. So there are a lot of options. This is going to be a fascinating story to play out, but getting back to what you were saying, mock you up something, I think the Darby in a second is just about what they're going to do. I mean, you can't pay Darby after this year if you want to keep Brandon Graham. Brandon Graham doesn't fit a 3-4, so I don't see him getting shipped out.
Yeah, we already tried that. I mean, yeah. And he was decent at it, but yeah, especially with being over the age of 30 now, I mean, that'd be a tough sell. Brandon Graham out in coverage, I don't know.
Yeah, no, they could pass that up. And
would they have to give up someone that's not going to be a free agent next year? I mean, what if it was, would you give up, if Le'Veon Bell was going to agree to a contract, would you give up a second and Dallas Goedert?
No.
You wouldn't?
You got to give up somebody on the defensive side of the ball. You can't take away weapons from Carson, you know? Like, you got to just keep giving him more weapons.
I would probably do it. I don't know.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I don't know if they would move him so quick, but it would be an interesting thing.
Because, I mean, the Steelers could use a linebacker without Shazier anymore. I would be really... I don't know if I would want to sell Jordan Hicks, but
yeah,
maybe
that's the thing.
It might take
someone
like that.
You don't have depth at that position, you know. It's
right.
Corner
that's
just
okay
makes
with,
too
like,
much
Graham
sense.
Darby. And this, it does. It makes perfect sense.
The Steelers, they couldn't cover me at this point. Artie Burns is not a good cornerback by any stretch of the imagination. So I think that would be what it would take, but.
Or maybe it'd be Rasul instead of Darby because maybe they'd want a younger guy that they have under contract for a couple of years. Regardless. I would probably do it as long as you're not touching Sidney Jones. That's CB1.
Yeah, he's off limits. But I think that makes a lot of sense. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be something that doesn't go away, and I do think it gets resolved before the trade deadline. I mean, got 28 days before it happens, so we'll see.
Would you, just before we wrap up the show, would the Bills be willing to take less for LeSean McCoy?
That's
because
funny
McCoy,
that you said that, because I was just going to prompt you with the exact same question.
Because McCoy only had 5 touches this week. And with that offensive line, a guy like McCoy is just, it's almost useless. And in his age, he's got to be so disinterested in what's happening in Buffalo. But I don't know, though. With Le'Veon, he's younger. McCoy's still one of the better running backs in the league, but Le'Veon's at an elite level right now. But McCoy, you could maybe get for a third-round pick. That's it. I mean, if you offer the Bills a third-round pick for McCoy, they're probably at least considering it at this point because he just doesn't line up in their long-term plans. I mean, the reunions
always
come back
around,
you know.
When we got off the air yesterday. This is the thing with the Eagles. Like, we might have Macklin and McCoy on the team before we know it, you know? We might have that entire offense.
Let's trade for DJX, too, again.
Yeah.
Let's just get the whole band back together.
Seriously. But, no, in all reality, I do think that's a plausible idea. And Buffalo's a team. They're not going to compete. We know that. They have to rebuild. They have a lot of dead cap right now. They're a team that's going to probably follow suit with what the Eagles and the Bears and the Rams have done and loaded up a rookie quarterback contract with weapons. But McCoy's old. He wants to win. Like, he definitely wants to win a Super Bowl. And, I mean, he still has value. He's still very good, but he's not going to do anything behind that offensive line. But
I think regardless, the Eagles are going to try to do something by the deadline to add to this roster.
I agree. Maybe if it's supplementing the defense somehow, but you got Carson. He's hotter than he's ever been throwing the ball. Why not just give him more weapons?
They need to. I think they could still win the Super Bowl without it. It's just I think Howie's always looking to upgrade, and there's just so happens that a lot of big-name talented players could be on the open market. Gino, that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Some really interesting stuff. I think it would be awesome if they could bring in someone like Le'Veon Bell, but it's always fun to talk about regardless. Follow Gino on Twitter at Gino_LOE. Follow me on Twitter at DiBiase LOE and the official Locked On Eagles show Twitter account at Locked On Birds. That's going to do it for today. We'll be back tomorrow with our first look at the Minnesota Vikings. Check out all our written content and podcasts at LockedOnEagles.com, and check out the feed, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your pods. Me and Gino are up and available on there. We will see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Go Eagles. Let's go Birds, baby.
Fly, Eagles, fly.